Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had so many questions. How do I record an episode? Where do I find background music? How do I get my show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other places people like to listen? Where do I find advertisers? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and 100% ridiculously easy to use. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast, which we did here, and I'm telling you, Anchor is one of the best places to do this. Come and join me in the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Welcome to Inside Fantasy Football. This is Todd coming at you again from Houston, Texas. We're going to go over the action from Week 5 and the fantasy-relevant players going forward and the issues that came out of each game as far as injuries. We're going to try to cover all angles from the games this past weekend to the best of our ability. I'm going to start the day off with some news and notes going into this upcoming weekend. Evan Engram is coming back, so make room for him at the tight end position. He will be a tight end one on Thursday night, by the way, so do it quickly. Also, double check to make sure it's not 100% yet he's coming back, but it looks like he's practicing fully with the Giants. Evan Engram, tight end is a rough position. Anytime you can get a guy with his talent in there, do it. Jamaal Charles is signing with the Jaguars. Calm down, he is not the Jamaal Charles that we knew years ago, but he has had some time to rest, he's had some time to work out, and with Corey Grant going down for the season in that Jaguars-Chiefs game, there is a spot open there, a depth spot. Yeldon is still the running back to own there in Jacksonville. Corey Clement is coming back. He is probably the running back to run with there in Philly. I would try to get around starting him. If you have to, throw him in at flex. He's a boomer bust flex guy for you. And that is in all formats. He may have a little bit more relevance in PPR. Adrian Peterson dislocated his shoulder against the Saints. He is day-to-day. I would probably plan to replace him this weekend. Thompson also got hurt in that game. Chris Thompson, running back for the Redskins. Keep an eye on him as well. All right, guys, we're going to jump right into the action this past weekend. We're going to skip the Colts-Patriots. We went over that on our last podcast. It was after that game had happened, and we covered it already. The Patriots look like they are back in business at 3-2 there in the AFC East, doing their usual climb to the top. I had a crazy bad weekend, by the way, just to let you guys know. I have 8 leagues that I'm in. Of the 8, there's one league I care about the most, and of course that's the one I make the worst decision in. I took Isaiah Crowell out of my flex and put Doug Baldwin in 10 minutes before kickoff on Sunday, and it burned me. I lost by 1 point. Crowell scored 24 points or whatever he scored. It's just one of those the decisions you make in fantasy. You got to stick with them. You got to deal with it. But, man, they can hurt you sometimes. That's why we do this stuff, is to make sure we make the most educated decision possible in each of our spots on our teams, because that one decision I made cost me a week. I went, it's the only league I'm struggling in as well. I was 1-3, and I knew that this week was make or break. I made all the right moves. I had 2 starting receivers, Baldwin and Cooks, in that lineup that scored 0 points for me, and I lost by 1 point. Brandon Cooks, a wide receiver, back end wide receiver 1, Baldwin, a back-end wide receiver, too, and I couldn't muster up 2 points between the two guys. Cooks got hurt immediately, and Baldwin just disappeared. I've never seen anything like it. The one time I need Baldwin to do something for me. And I had Wilson on that same team. I'm thinking, look, I'm going to get a little double up here, at least some yardage from Baldwin. Got nothing, lost the game. Now I'm 1-4 in that league, and it's going to be a battle. And I've really got to work the waiver wire. I've got to play these buys well. It put me in a huge bind. That's why you've got to pay attention to these podcasts. Listen to all the podcasts you can on this stuff. Knock it out. It doesn't have to be all day, every day, but get a few in a week to help you make the most educated decision you can, because it can be the difference between 2-3 and 1-4 in that league for me is gigantic. Now I'm looking at a possible, you know, I need a Cinderella story to make it into the playoffs. At 2-3, it was very manageable. So I had to get that off my chest just to let you know, hey, even guys that do well most of the time, I make pretty good money on DraftKings. I do well most of the time in my seasonal. Everybody has those weeks where it just seems like every decision you made was questionable. Once again, that's why we do this, to try to avoid as much of that as possible. We're going to start off with the Giants at the Panthers. It was a fun game to watch. I mean, Saquon Barkley, wow. I mean, this kid has some serious talent. I mean, some of the things he does just amazes me. That dive over the goal line in the corner there towards the end of the game and the Giants comeback was just athleticism. The Beckham, he did the reverse throw, was it 50 yards to Barkley on the opposite side of the field on some little reverse play. Good throw by OBJ, by the way. But the athleticism to just burn past the linebacker and safety there, and just the way Barkley moves, I mean, he's just a rare, rare player. I love watching that guy. He makes up for the rest of the Giants, which are not the most fun team to watch in the league. But this week, this Giants-Panthers game was fun to watch. Eli had another tough game. It's time for Eli to move on. I don't know what else to say. Good career. You know, he's not a Hall of Famer or anything like that in my eyes. I know some people talk about it. He's just been a decent, serviceable quarterback that I think needs to either move on or hold a clipboard. The Giants have got to draft a quarterback next year or get a good free agent quarterback if there's one available. Trade even. They need a quarterback. But OBJ, of course, Barkley going forward are always going to be startable week in, week out. McCaffrey had a good game. Cam had a pretty decent game. Moore showed up a little bit in this game. Olsen might be back next week. McCaffrey going forward looks really strong in any format, not just PPR anymore. He is the back there. Cam is a startable week in, week out quarterback. He really stepped up this week. The Jaguars, Chiefs, this game was a blast to watch. It had a little bit of everything. Had some weather at the beginning. It was neat to see a top-end defense try to deal with Mahomes and company. It was wild to see the two opposite ends of the spectrum collide like that. But the funny thing is that I got from this Jaguars-Chiefs game is Bortles. If I watched most of that game, because I had a lot of players going on both teams in multiple leagues, so I was very invested in it when I was flipping through the DirecTV, you know, the ticket or whatever. And Bortles, he's a good scoring quarterback most of the time in fantasy. So fantasy-wise, Bortles is not a bad option. He really isn't. He tends, at the end of the game, to rack up enough points to be very serviceable in fantasy. He even crept up into the top 12 this week against the Chiefs. The problem with Bortles is, I don't know how many of you out there watched a Jaguars game and really watched Bortles. The inconsistency and the balls he throws from time to time are unbelievably bad. And he has moments where he'll make a good throw and show some athleticism. He can run a little bit. And then he'll turn around and just make the worst. I mean, he'll a wide open receiver, he'll throw it 4 feet short. He'll throw a ball where it's not even close to any kind of spin on the ball. It's just a dead duck. He's just throwing a freaking knuckleball at the receivers. It's wild. It was the ugliest 20-something point performance I think I've ever seen in fantasy. He's one of those quarterbacks, if you watch him with your own eyes and you have him on a fantasy roster, which I did, and I didn't have time to constantly check my roster, I really thought he was going to have a disastrous day. He threw like 4 interceptions. Horrible interceptions, by the way. And I look, and I think he settled in a standard league around 26 points. It's unbelievable. It was like the ugliest 26 points I've ever seen. But that's Blake Bortles. Not bad in fantasy. Very ugly to watch most of the time. I have no clue how they didn't sign Bridgewater in Jacksonville. Get a quarterback there. If they had a decent quarterback, Jacksonville could possibly be a Super Bowl contender. With Bortles back there, I just don't trust this Jags team. They need somebody that can step up when Fournette's out. Bortles is way too inconsistent. Still very fantasy relevant. He's got Dallas next week, so I would probably keep him off the top 12 radar next week because Dallas has a pretty good pass defense. So I just wanted to get that Bortles bit off my chest because he is a strange one to watch. One of the most inconsistent, talented quarterbacks I've ever seen. Corey Grant, I think I mentioned this earlier, did break his foot. He's out for the season. Jamal Charles is trying to step into that role for the Jaguars. Their offense is not very trustable in fantasy. Keelan Cole, Westbrook, Moncrief, I don't know who's doing what from week to week. If I had to choose going into the Cowboys game, maybe Westbrook, but I would try to get around starting. Outside of Westbrook as a possible flex, I would try to get around starting any of that receiving core. Yeldon needs to be starting at running back in all formats. Jamal Charles can be rostered, but I would do it with, you know, one eyebrow raised. I would just kind of watch and see how he fits into the system. Really doesn't even need to be rostered yet, but somebody's going to jump on that waiver wire. If you have the depth, he's not a bad stash. That defense continue to start it week in, week out. Doesn't matter who they're playing. Very productive defense in fantasy, the Jaguars. The Chiefs, it's usual suspects. Mahomes, you know, had his roughest day as everybody expected. By the way, the numbers are coming back down to earth a little bit. Teams are adjusting. Weather is kicking in. Rain. There's other factors that are kicking in. So the crazy numbers we saw the first 4 weeks are starting to subside a little bit. We're seeing some numbers come down with the quarterbacks. Defenses, like I said, are adjusting, putting more DBs in the backfield. These quarterbacks aren't running around with their heads cut off doing whatever they want at this moment. The players are learning how to hit properly. We're getting less calls there. They're learning. I watched that Texans-Cowboys game Sunday night. The hit J.J. Watt put on Dak Prescott was textbook what they want. He could have crushed Dak Prescott. He had a full sprint at Prescott without Prescott looking. Prescott was trying to release the ball on a pass. I think he might have saw Watt was just going to take the hit. But up until recently, up until this season, that quarterback would have been, if not laid out, he would have taken an extremely hard hit, possibly, you know, knocked out for a play or two type, especially from a player like Watt. Watt being the good guy that he is, smart player that he is, lowered that shoulder, got shoulder into the chest, and drove him, but pulled his weight off as they hit the ground and rolled to the side a little bit to where most of his body weight went to the ground next to Prescott while the shoulder was in the chest area. It was textbook. Hit the quarterback, get him to the ground without hurting him. I know it's been driving everybody crazy these first few weeks, but that is what the coaches need to be teaching. You can hit the quarterback that way and you're not going to get called. You could tell that he did not try to put his weight on Prescott. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. It's there in the game, film, however you want to do it. You can do it through NFL, was it 360, Game Pass, or whatever. If not, just rewatch the game. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's a big hit. Perfect way to hit the quarterback, by the way. Just to let everybody know, it's a big topic of conversation around the NFL right now. For the Chiefs, Watkins is a startable flex. I think he's a big enough part of that offense. Hunt is a every format, every week. Kareem Hunt still needs to be started. I know he's been a little up and down this year. Stick with Kareem Hunt. He's doing fine now. He had a good week. Mahomes is still a QB1. He will be a QB1 against the Patriots this week. The Titans at the Bills. Very It's just such an ugly game. The defenses, Titans defense still looks pretty good. It was all field goals except for one Josh Allen run for a touchdown on the Bills side. The Titans offense just disappeared. I even had it on my website. I was huge on Mariota and Davis making a comeback, turning this offense into something, maybe getting a little running game. But I also mentioned in last week's Tuesday podcast that I thought the Bills might have an upset here because it just felt like one of those games that the Bills would shock everybody. And it was. They won 13-12. You know, touchdown, a couple field goals is all they needed against that Titans offense. Nobody on the Titans at this point outside of Deion Lewis, if you want to take a chance at flex, is startable, by the way. Corey Davis is even iffy. They're playing Baltimore this week. I would probably bench Corey Davis. Baltimore is a very, very good defense. The only startable option is Lewis, and I would try to get around that. That is where we're at in the state of the Tennessee Titans. They are very inconsistent. They are just riding that defense right now. And on that same front, the defense is startable week in, week out. That's how good the Titans defense is. Buffalo, they have no starters except for McCoy. McCoy made a little bit of a comeback this week at 80-something yards. Not a ton of yards per carry. I think he had like 24 carries somewhere around there, but he's definitely doing enough to keep that defense off the field, getting some first downs, getting them into position to at least get a field goal. He made a lot of big plays in this game. McCoy is the only startable flex option for the Bills. And I'm hearing rumblings. This is early stuff, but I'm hearing rumblings that the Philadelphia Eagles are attempting a trade with the Bills for McCoy. That would be very interesting for McCoy owners. There are no other fantasy options there. Between these two teams, there's only a couple options out of the entire group between the two teams. Bills and Titans are not very fantasy-conducive franchises right now. The Dolphins at the Bengals. This was a very interesting game. I had the Dolphins possibly pulling an upset here, but the Bengals showed up. They started off slow. The Dolphins had a decent lead, and the Bengals just swept through in that second half and blew past them. Mixon showed up. He's getting a bulk of the work there. They're 4-1. The Bengals are feeling good right now. Dalton, Mixon, Green, Boyd are all startable in all formats. The Bengals offense is for real, folks. They are coming to play this year. Could win that division. On the Dolphins side, they're one of those teams like the Titans and Bills. It's pretty much a ghost town when it comes to fantasy. The only startable option maybe is Kenny Stills, Tannehill, and two quarterback leagues. He might slide into the back end there. They're real gimmicky. They do a lot of short throws. At this point, they are not fantasy conducive. On the next podcast, we'll go into what is coming up next week. Maybe I can come up with something for you. But at this point, the Dolphins look pretty rough on offense. Defense is scrappy, but they really caved in the second half. They are a very hollow 3-2 there in Miami. I would shy away from any of their fantasy players at this point. The Falcons at the Steelers, it was expected to be a little bit bigger of a barn burner. I mean, the Steelers did score 41. It was 41-17 Steelers. It was a romping. The Falcons have the Buccaneers next week. They have quite a few players that will be fantasy relevant. But in this game, Freeman is having trouble. He is hurting some people on some rosters. He's not doing much. I will do some research before the next podcast, but he is looking like a bench-worthy guy at this point. I don't know what's going on with that offense in some areas. They can light it up through the air. Ridley had a little bit of a rough game. Julio didn't score again, but he still puts up points with his yards. So the Falcons, you still got Ryan as startable. You know, you're still going to have the receivers, Ridley. Sanu actually is a fantasy-relevant player coming into this week. He had a very, very good game. Julio is always fantasy relevant. That defense continues to be one of the worst in the league. They just had too many injuries at important spots on that defense. Anytime you have a team going against, a player going against the Falcons defense, you need to be starting them. They're that bad. The Buccaneers might have a decent week, by the way. Winston playing the Falcons coming up is going to be a sleeper. On the Steelers side, Connor showed up. He's making a little splash right here before they get Le'Veon Bell back in a couple weeks, possibly. There's some rumblings about Bell not coming back or being traded. But as of right now, it looks like he is coming back. But Connor is startable until then. He is putting up points for the Steelers. Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, all startable. Vance McDonald hurt me in a few leagues. He hurt me in daily. at tight end. You can start him at your own risk, but I do not. It's going to be too inconsistent there. I mean, of course, as I say that, he'll probably have a big week. But for me personally, I'm shying away from any Steelers tight ends at this point. The Ravens at the Browns, it was another slugfest. There was some weather. 12-9 Browns. All field goals, guys. That's rough. That's really, really rough stuff there. Flacco was gaining traction coming into this week. He is still not a recommended startable quarterback for the Ravens. Collins is up and down. Start him at your own risk. He's a boom or bust running back 3 for me this week. They are playing the Titans. I would try to stay away from any Ravens offensive players this week. The Tennessee Titans, the one thing they do well, they don't do anything else very well, but the one thing the Tennessee Titans do well is play defense. That makes going into next week. Now, we're going to have another podcast on Saturday, and I will go over who I think is startable. Check in with me. I'll do some homework, but as of right now, the Ravens look pretty rough. 9-12 loss to the Browns. Mayfield's climbing that ladder. He's looking a little bit better. He's not startable yet, but he's getting there. Landry, Callaway is off the map right now. He can be rostered, but he's nowhere near starting yet. Landry is the only startable receiving option outside of Njoku at tight end, who is a tight end one. That Browns defense is for real, by the way. So if you can start them week in, week out. Garrett is a good defensive lineman there in IDP. Ward, the cornerback for the Browns, Ward, the draft pick from Ohio State, was a heck of a pickup. That kid is all over the place. He blocked a field goal. He's just a great talent, Ward, the cornerback there for the Browns. Really not fantasy relevant, but he needs to be mentioned when you talk about the Browns' defense. Broncos at Jets. The Broncos' defense is in trouble. The Jets ran all over the place on them. I almost put up 300 yards, or did put up 300 yards rushing on the over 300 yards rushing on the Broncos. Darnold looked pretty good against that defense. The Broncos are in trouble. They are going to drop quickly. Keenum looks very, very average. Demaryius Thomas surprisingly had a good game for the Broncos. That was the only upside. They're playing the Rams next week. I would watch out. Don't get too excited and start him just yet if you have any depth. Lindsey and Freeman still look pretty good, but they're sharing enough to kind of... Lindsey is probably the only one that is startable at a flex option in all formats. Freeman is so close, but just not getting enough. Maybe in standard you can go with Freeman, but they're sharing quite a bit back there. Two very talented running backs there in Denver, by the way. That defense is just a sieve right now. 34-16 to the Jets. Whew. I mean, you can't predict that. I mean, who thought that? Maybe the Jets would win, but not 34-16. There is some major heads rolling there. Elway is a quick trigger guy. He is not going to roll with this for too long. The coaching staff there in Denver better watch their backs. The Jets, on the other hand, Crowell is a startable running back going forward. He's a little inconsistent, but he's a guy you can just stick in there. And most weeks, I think he's going to at least be productive for you. Believe it or not, Powell is the same as Crowell. I think they're sharing just enough. It might fluctuate week to week. Like I said, they're a little... I mean, if you're super loaded at running back, get around it. But if you have one of them or you have both of them, they are both startable flex options. Crowell and Bilal Powell there in New York. Anunua is still a startable option. He's a wide receiver 3 there in New York. Anderson at wide receiver had a coming out party, but he is still not startable. It looked kind of fluky to me. I would give it another week or two before you throw him in any lineups. The Packers at the Lions. Most people had the Lions winning, and that's what happened. The Packers have a bunch of injuries they're dealing with, especially at receiver. Aaron Rodgers still is just the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He's just so good. If you watch this game, you go back and watch it. Aaron Rodgers is just a good quarterback. He did the best with what he had, put them in a position to at least keep the game close. 31-23, though, the Lions came to play. Lions are on a bye week, so any Lions, you need to get out of your lineup ASAP. Pay attention to your waiver wire tonight. Wide receivers. Scantling for the Packers may be a play there. Any of the Buccaneers receivers, on waiver, might be a look. They're playing the Falcons next week. They would replace Galladay, Tate, or Marvin Jones, whoever you have there in Detroit. I know you're going to be on the waiver wire looking for receivers or quarterbacks, and quarterbacks are usually a good selection there at every waiver wire. It's a very deep position this year. We're going to move on to the Raiders at the Chargers, 26-10. The Chargers beat the Raiders. It was a very good game to watch. More entertaining than the score gave off. The Raiders are still struggling there. They just don't have enough talent. Lynch, Carr, and two quarterback leagues. Lynch can be started. I would still kind of keep Lynch in the standard format if you can. If you're in PPR, I would try to get around Lynch. They use Rashard there for their PPR services. He's a third down back. Derek Carr, two quarterback leagues, is startable. Amari Cooper is driving me nuts. Every time I start him, he does nothing. I sit him, he goes off. I would try to get around Amari Cooper. He's one of those guys you keep on your bench for depth. If you need to fill a spot at wide receiver, he's a good filler, but he's not a guy that you can rely on week to week right now. I don't know what's going on. It's weird how he'll go 100 yards and the next week he gets zero. It's mind-boggling. I don't know. I really have no answer for it. He's too inconsistent right now to be in starting lineups unless you're in a bind. The Chargers, it's the usual suspects that did well and will do well going forward. Gordon, Rivers, Eckler, Keenan Allen all had a good game here, strong game. They will be startable going forward as well. Mike Williams is a guy I would keep on a bench, but I would try to get around starting Mike Williams. He might be a streamer type guy. He's also a depth guy. If something happens there, Keenan Allen, or there's an injury somewhere, I think Mike Williams will be the guy to step in. So he's a bench guy at this point, Mike Williams. He has the talent to be a starter. A lot of people thought he might be a league winner. We'll see. Cardinals at Niners, it was kind of a snooze fest. 28-18, the Cardinals get off the schneid and get their first win. Niners look pretty rough there with all the injuries. Breida might even be out for a while with an ankle problem. There's not much there on the Niners side outside of Kittle. Maybe Garcon. I would try to get around most Niners except for Kittle going into this week, honestly. They just don't have much going on there now. I think the Garoppolo thing really took the air out of the balloon there in San Francisco. Arizona, Rosen still looks good, but he's not startable yet. David Johnson is startable as a flex. And Christian Kirk needs to be rostered in all formats. Possibly a boomer bust starting flex guy. Him and Rosen have a decent rapport with each other. Fitzgerald needs to be benched in all formats. I've dropped him in a couple leagues. You don't have to go that far and drop him, but he is droppable. Fitzgerald does not seem to be fitting in. I think it's time to hang him up there. Hopefully he proves me wrong. I wish him the best. But as of right now, Fitzgerald does not look too good to me. Rams at the Seahawks, 33-31. Rams, it was a decent game, pretty exciting game. The Seahawks made a game of it. They ran the ball quite a bit. Wilson only threw the ball 19 times, so... that is where Baldwin killed me in a few leagues and some daily. I had Baldwin starting. He got 0 points, guys. Doug Baldwin. Healthy, by the way. And everybody keeps saying Wilson only threw the ball 19 times. Well, five of them should go to Baldwin. Makes no sense. Anyways, that was the game plan against the Rams. Keep them off the field. Run the ball. I get it. You want to keep that offense off the field. So if you were any Seahawks owners, you felt it. And I had a few Seahawks going... and I felt it. It was a heavy run. I think that's going to be their formula going forward. Russell Wilson is still in the back end of a QB1 rankings going forward, but I would watch him with a little worry, maybe get a good backup ready there because they could go extremely run heavy, and that just alone, throwing the ball 18 to 22 times a game is not going to cut it in today's fantasy world. It's just not going to cut it. Even with Russell Wilson. He did get 3 touchdowns. The play action works when you do that. So you bank everything on him, you know, working that play action. But with Wilson not running very much and them only throwing, and the Seahawks only throwing the ball 20 times a game, give or take, I would try to get around any Seattle passing game options outside of maybe Lockett. He is a boomer bust. Tyler Lockett at flex is a pretty good receiver going forward. I would not touch any of the backs there, but if you had to, I would. Carson still looked like the better back to me. Davis is getting some decent points at the moment. Those two look like they're going to share the load there. Rashad Penny can be dropped in all formats. He just didn't fit in, at least not yet. Maybe next year. That looks like a first round pick that might end up getting some people fired, but we'll see. The Rams, it's the usual suspects. The big issue here is Cooper Kupp and Brandon Cooks went out of the game with concussions. So hopefully they are going to be good by next week. All indications are saying that they're not having any issues, that it is a possible they will be a go next week. Gurley and Goff are startable week in, week out, guys. The Vikings at the Eagles. I had a lot of Vikings and some Eagles going in my leagues and in some daily. I definitely kept a close eye on this game. The Vikings stepped up as I thought they would. I had them winning this game. I figured they'd come in desperate. And they did. The defense stepped up. 23-21. It was just really, really, really good game. Cousins looks good. The running game in Minnesota, don't touch it. I have Murray going in a few leagues. A few of the leagues I had Cook in, I had Murray, and it burned me. Murray is not Dalvin Cook. And Dalvin Cook right now is not Dalvin Cook with that hamstring hurting. I would get around any Minnesota running attack options. Even if they say Cook's good to go, he probably won't be 100%. He needs time for that hamstring to heal. Stay away from the running backs there. I hate to say it. I went heavy on Murray and Cook in a few of my leagues. I'm regretting it. Thielen and Diggs are still going to be startable going forward. They had a very, very good game here against the Eagles, considering they were playing a tough defense. Rudolph is still startable in a weak tight end position in all formats. The Eagles are pretty slim pickings. It's going to be Wentz, Ertz, and I would not touch that backfield, but if you had to make me choose one, it would be Corey Clement. He is healthy, and it looks like he's going to start this week. The Cowboys at the Texans Sunday night, very good game, a very hard-hitting game. Deshaun Watson took a ton of hits in this game. If he continues down this road, Watson's not going to be around much longer. The Texans season will cave at that point. They've got to figure out a way to get that guy to stay upright and not take so many hits. He will be startable until that happens, though. Watson is a very good fantasy quarterback. Lamar Miller was hurt. Blue is not really a fantasy option. He did okay in the game stat-wise, but they just have nothing at running back. Their only hope is Deontay Foreman. He should be coming back in the next couple weeks, hopefully. He was on IR. He could be a decent fit there at running back, but until then, no running backs for the Texans need to be messed with. At wide receiver, they're getting interesting. You got Hopkins and Fuller. They need to be started in all formats, but Kiki Coutee needs to be rostered and possibly starting at flex in all formats. He is getting some looks. He seems to be the outlet that Watson tends to go to. He has some definite fantasy relevance. Kiki Coutee needs to be picked up and rostered in all formats. Cowboys looked horrendous in the passing game. The worst wide receiving core. I think it's worse than the Buffalo Bills wide receiving core. The worst wide receiving core I've seen in a long time. When Cole Beasley is possibly your best receiver, you're in big, big trouble. Swaim is not a tight end you need to be starting. He's putting up decent numbers. It's a weak position, but he's one of the few mentionables on offense. Of course, Zeke is a week in, week out. He is the offense right now, Ezekiel Elliott. He is a running back one every week. Prescott is not fantasy relevant. Those wide receivers are not fantasy relevant. Neither are the tight ends at this point. It is Zeke, and that's it when it comes to fantasy on that Cowboys offense. Defense is fun to watch and somewhat rosterable in fantasy. That defense is very scrappy there in Dallas. Houston as well. They have a scrappy defense. Not the best defense in the league, but very scrappy. They do get some points. Hopkins looked amazing towards the end there. That's the reason why he's the number one receiver there. The guy has got a ton of talent. Redskins on Monday night get blown out by the Saints 43-19. Breeze breaks the record, becomes the all-time leading passer. Love Drew Breeze. He's been my ride or die guy in fantasy for many, many years. He's won me many, many leagues. And I have to admit, I got a little teared up when he took the time to talk there after getting the accolades for becoming the all-time leading passer. Very, very, very nice moment. Breeze is a great quarterback. Tre'Quan Smith looked good at wide receiver. He's rosterable. They have a bye week this week. He is rosterable. Michael Thomas had a rough game. They jumped up so quick. It was more game script than anything. He will be startable after the bye week as well. Usual suspect. Kamara, Ingram came back, looked good. They're all going to be startable after the bye week. The Redskins, they don't have much. Peterson got hurt and Thompson got hurt. They were the only two options outside of Reed at tight end. And Reed had a tough game at tight end as well. But going forward, it should be Reed, either Thompson or Peterson. If either one of them come back, well, I'll let you know on the next podcast what the news pans out for those guys is like. But as of right now, it's looking like just Reed at tight end. There's no receiver that jumps off the page or Alex Smith at this point. They are in trouble on the offensive end. And from what I saw, the defense isn't that great either. Washington at 2-2 is a very hollow 2-2. The Saints look like a 4-1 team. They played like it. They look very good going forward in both fantasy and in real football. All right, well, that's going to do it for today, guys. I'll get all the relevant information going into next week games by the next podcast. You can get in touch with me at toddsfantasypicks@gmail.com or check out my website at insidefantasy.simdiff.com, insidefantasy.simdiff.com. Until next time, guys, good luck on the waiver wire. Any questions, hit me up on either the website or email, and I'll do my best to get back to you as quick as I can. Till next time, guys. Later.